Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Oh no, it's still going. Play
it again.
Okay. I can't play it again. You're going to cry. So I just shared something. Oh, by the way, this is episode 145. I am Leah. This is Steph, back by popular demand.
Hello.
I've got her crying right now.
Not sad crying.
No. Because I showed her, okay, so this is from Shazier, the Sheer Truth on Instagram. She's a comedian and she does a podcast with Nicole Byer from Nailed It. Anyway, they're on a Zoom meeting that's like, I think it's in preparation for the podcast that they do or something like that. Anyway, Nicole Byer walks in after
it started.
And this woman's telling this really boring story about how she's annoyed that she has to cut her own toenails in isolation.
Yeah, which just adds to it.
It really does. It's a video you have to watch a few times. Anyway, so Nicole Byer has got a face mask on over, like, you know, tucked behind her ears, and it's down under her chin because she's home. And then she puts her headphones in, like the little earbuds in,
yep,
that are connected with a cord. And she's also wearing a pair of glasses. And then she tries to take her face mask off and it gets caught on the headphones.
But she tries to take it off going up and over her head rather than unhooking the ears.
So it got caught on the headphones and the glasses and the back of her head.
She has the cord stuck across her eyes at once.
It's so good. And watching the other women on the Zoom meeting who are clearly just being polite.
Yeah.
Politely being interested in this toenail story. And they just lose it.
Oh, it got me. I watched it the first time. I was like, oh, that's amusing. And I said, hang on, I need to see it again.
Yeah, yeah.
The second time I was laughing. Yeah. And then by the third time, I was just uncontrollably crying with laughter.
I need to give you tissues.
Yeah. Oh, really
so
good.
So good. Ah, Nicole Byer.
She's, what's the word? She surprises you,
yeah,
with how funny, but like
so funny.
Naturally funny she,
yeah,
is. Like it never feels like a setup.
No.
Comment that she, or a comeback that she's coming with. It's just really weird, dumb stuff that she says and does.
She's so good. Did you enjoy your Christmas present that I gave you last Christmas?
Oh, I really, really enjoyed the printout of the tickets to Nicole Byer's show
in May
that got cancelled because, yep, of COVID.
Yeah,
so it was lovely. Mm. I'm gonna frame it actually as the best memory I've never had.
Yeah, I can't wait for when we get to see her eventually.
I wonder what age we'll be.
I don't know. Could she just Zoom it to
us?
Yeah,
she could.
I would probably,
as long
enjoy
as she
that.
Recreates the mask, headphones, glasses for Esco.
Can we not have the lady talk about her? Oh, goodness. We've got a lot to talk about. We can't be mucking around.
Stop
like
fussing
this.
Around.
There's a lot of fuss and nonsense, really. A lot of fuss and nonsense. We've watched some stuff. I've got a great quiz for you.
Yes.
If you like reality shows that Tidy likes.
And I do.
You'll go really well. But I have put a really difficult question in there.
Okay. Because
the others seemed a bit easy.
Okay.
For you.
All right. I'm intrigued. Can't wait.
Well, that's coming up way later, like at the end. Of course, the Watchersville newsletter edition, I think they're up to 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some pretty interesting stuff.
Ooh.
There may be a ghost in the town. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
We'll hear about that really, really soon because that's up next. We've got lots of news. We do. We've got lots of news, don't we?
Which is surprising considering
nothing's happening.
Nothing's really happening.
But all of our news is this will happen when they can do it.
Mm. Well, look, there's nothing better than being prepared.
That's right.
Is there?
Just get ready.
I am prepared for the next 10 years of work.
A thing Nicole Byer probably should have thought about when she started that headphone face mask.
Unhook ears first.
Yeah, that's right. Didn't need to wear face mask when back on lounge.
At home,
exactly. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. Huge news from the Get Smart Appreciation and Invention Facility this week. They have started production on individual cones of silence. They're designed to give the user much-needed quiet time, while also creating a safe environment from evil viruses that are keen to infect all humans. This is a big win for the facility, as their shoe phones did not sell well at all last year, mainly due to everyone owning mobile phones. Pre-orders are available from today, and the first 5,000 get a free pair of those phones made out of shoes. Claudia Henderson has expressed interest in making a big batch of the trifle Rachel made on Friends for the Watchersville Gross Food Night next month. Last year saw 27 rather large bowls of the stuff being made and not eaten. She would like to avoid this from happening again and has asked all those interested in partaking in the questionable dish to send her a WhatsApp message. There's concerns that ghosts are trying to take over part of the town after Brian Lopez was discovered with lipstick marks on his lips, cheeks, neck and collar. Describing it as a total mystery, Brian says he has no idea where they came from as A, he stayed back late at work 4 times last week to check on emails, B, his workplace doesn't have any women who work there apart from the 6 that work there, and C, that's not his wife's shade of lipstick. Producers of the TV show True Ghost Stories have been notified and will be in town filming with Brian next week. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
See what I mean about the ghost? It's real.
It was a bit terrifying for me.
I'm sure it's real. I'm sure it's real. Speaking of terrifying, X-Files, right?
Mm.
They're probably going to do a spin-off. It's an animated spin-off. It's going to be called X-Files Albuquerque, and will center on an office of misfits who deal with the cases too goofy for Mulder and Scully. I thought Mulder and Scully dealt with the cases that were too goofy for the FBI.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. It feels very comic book crowd would be interested. I don't know that it would get the same level of audience that the original had. Because the whole point was that it was the unreal, the unbelievable in real life.
Yeah,
right?
And they took it very seriously. So will this take it seriously? It sounds like it's got a bit of comedy into it.
Yeah. And why Albuquerque?
New Mexico.
Area 51. Is that where? That's not New Mexico, is it?
Isn't
that's Nevada.
Is it?
Oh, no. Somewhere in the desert. Showing our lack of knowledge of American geography.
I've been to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
I've been to Nevada.
Okay, then we should be in the show.
Tick.
This interests us a lot. It's super early days. It's only just been optioned for a script. So
okay.
If they like the script, it will get greenlit as a full series.
All right, interesting.
I can't remember who it's for because it looks like I've deleted that bit of important information. So I'm just going to assume it's Fox of some description. Although Fox is now Disney. Oh.
Too difficult.
It's too difficult. I can't cope with it. Let's move on then.
Okay.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
He's going to be in a TV show.
Really?
Yeah, this is going to be his first ever job, should I say, in a scripted TV show.
I was going to say he never did TV shows. He was a film actor. Mm.
He was the leading action man.
Interesting. I wonder, when was the last time he actually was an actor rather than
politician? Was it last year he did the latest Terminator movie? So not too long ago. But this is a bit different. It's not Terminator. He's going to play the lead role. He's going to executive produce it as well, which means extra money.
Nice.
And it's a spy series. It's got no name yet, but it's an adventure show about a father and daughter spy duo. I can see it having a bit of a fun.
That's exactly what I was just thinking. Mm. I was almost thinking you can imagine him doing like this, the family sitcom where he's the dad who, you know, is a little bit disapproving of the daughter, but they're spies. So
they're spies.
Interesting. I'd give it a whirl.
Given how old he is, I'm not saying he's an old man or anything.
No.
I'm just saying I'm trying to place how old the daughter would be. The daughter's an adult, has to be an adult.
Has to be an adult.
So she potentially has had her own spy career.
Oh, okay.
And I'm guess this is me hypothesizing.
So you don't think that he's the veteran spy and she's the new, I won't say new grad spy, but early in her.
Like a rookie kind of thing.
A rookie spy who doesn't want dad's advice or opinion.
Because he's probably like a legend in the spy corporation or department or whatever it is. Yeah, maybe that's it. See,
maybe she never knew dad was a spy.
Oh, because he's so good at spying, where she may have been spying for like the past 5-10 years. So she's got her own spy career.
Yep.
And he didn't know that she was a spy.
And neither of them knew. Well, we've just written the script for them.
I feel like we've almost written, we've written the father-daughter version of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
That's what we've done. Yeah. Which is probably what they've done as well.
Like original.
That's right. Just take little bits of ideas from everybody else. This is a story I didn't think we'd have. Channing Tatum.
Yes.
Now, I did say to you before we started recording that I get him mixed up with Stockard Channing because both of their names have Channing in it. Mm-hmm. So when I hear Channing, I think there are worse things I could do from Greece. But it's not. It's
very, very different person.
He was in 21 Jump Street movies.
Magic Mike.
That's right. Yeah. Like all that sort of stuff. He has written a kid's picture book.
Has he?
Mm, which is dedicated to his 7-year-old daughter.
Okay.
It's obviously, they obviously loved it, the publishers or editors or whatever, because it's already got a date for release.
Wow.
4th of May next year.
I'd be really interested to read that because I do think there's a bit of push behind a big name releasing children's books
for sure.
That it just gives you the green light to go ahead. So it would be interesting to see if it's actually good or not.
Well, on his Instagram page, there's a photograph of him dressed up. I think he has fairy wings on, maybe a tiara, reading the book to what you assume is his daughter. It's just that her face, most of her is covered by the book, which is fair enough. And he said, I don't know about you, but things got a little weird for me in quarantine. I ended up accidentally locking myself in my 7-year-old daughter's room and ended up finding my inner child. So this is what I created for my little girl.
Wow.
So it's about a girl called Ella who's teased on her first day of school for loving sparkly things. Despite what others say, Ella's dad encourages her to embrace who she is and to wear her disco ball shoes, shimmering backpack, and glittery ribbons in her hair.
Oh, cute.
So there is an animator, or I should say an illustrator.
Yeah. It sounds like he's a really hands-on dad who just enjoys spending time with his little girl.
Yeah. What do you think, though, about like what you were saying before, do you think maybe he was approached
possibly
by publishers or like his agent and like, hey, do you want to write a kid's book?
Yeah.
They've sat down with him and they've brainstormed
it. Because the actual physical writing of a children's book is far more difficult than writing a long novel.
Why?
You've got less words to say more and you've got to rely on the pictures so much to help convey, you know, the inferential meaning, whereas in a big novel you can just rattle on about the colour green for 3 pages.
That's Lord of the Rings.
You have to be so descriptive and pinpoint with your vocab in terms of what age you're targeting it towards. So that's a really, really difficult skill.
So it sounds like he's probably worked really closely with the illustrator.
Yeah, so maybe it was the other way. He had the great idea, approached a publisher and they said, okay, well, yeah, let's get this started.
Yeah.
Potentially.
If he could message us.
Just let us know if we're on the right track.
We just want a bit of explanation because we want to know whether we're right or not. And if we're not right, tell us we are.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Thanks, Channing.
A wise man once leant over and whispered in my ear, we tweet, therefore we are. Profound and a little creepy. Follow The Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1. They aren't creepy, I promise.
All I want for Christmas is you.
Thank you.
Is a song. It was a comma there.
My favourite Christmas song.
We'll be hearing it soon because I keep thinking it's the beginning of August. It's not.
It's not.
It's now the beginning of September.
I think it's about June.
Yeah.
I'm that far behind.
Yeah. I was going to say something that everybody says every 5 minutes. I'm going to say it anyway.
Do it.
This year has been very weird.
Oh, it's been so strange. And then everybody says, let's just write it off and say it's January.
That's right. I saw a meme yesterday that said, no one's thought about the fact that maybe 2021's not going to be better than
that. Yeah, it's so true.
That everything's miraculously going to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all better now.
I mean, we're not going to get fireworks at New Year's Eve, but my goodness, 1201's going to be fabulous.
So good. Yeah. But Christmas time will be nice because Mariah Carey's song, 25 years old.
Oh, it's having a birthday.
It's having a big girl birthday. Quarter of a century we've been listening to that song for, 3 or 4 months of every year. So this Christmas we can settle down, watch Apple TV, because Mariah Carey's magical Christmas special is going to be on it.
Is that just All I Want for Christmas?
I think so.
On repeat?
I mean, I assume that's what Apple Music is most of the time around December anyway. The program's going to combine music, dancing, animation. In addition to featuring surprise guests.
Oh, so all the surprise guests each have a turn at singing the song.
Everybody sings the song.
Yeah.
And then there's an animated
version of the song.
That's right.
And then an instrumental version of the song where it's karaoke.
It's karaoke. That's right. Where you sing it. But they do have to put the words up of the second verse because it's a little bit hazy about that one. So it's a magical holiday journey to enliven the Christmas spirit around the world.
I think it'll work. I think everybody will jump on board and let's wipe this year away.
Wipe it away.
With a bit of Mariah.
2021's going to be amazing.
It's going to be fun.
I remember a few years ago, maybe 2016, when, do you remember that year where a lot of celebrities passed away?
Yes.
And everyone's like, this year has been the worst.
The worst year.
Little did they know.
Little did they know. Mm. Like, come on, guys. Raise your expectations for what the worst might be.
Yeah.
We might not be there yet.
That's right. The worst is yet to come.
2021 might be sanitized, but you just don't know.
Mm.
I mean, the world could explode and where's hand sanitizer going to help you?
What's
So it might fuel the explosion.
It might fuel, oh, goodness gracious me. Now, you were very impressed about the amount of sanitizer that I've got around this area.
There is a lot, which I really appreciate because I think I like to be able to walk in and just spot it so that it's a reminder. You just put it on.
Just have a little go of it.
And you go, I only put it on 5 seconds ago, but oh, there's another bottle.
Pump, do that.
Pump. Try that one.
We've got alcohol wipes that smell like alcohol.
You know, I can smell it just being in the studio.
Yeah.
It's got that aura of
this.
Don't light a flame.
No, that's right. Don't light a flame. So there is a point where you have to go, oh, maybe too much of this now makes it smell like a hospital.
Yeah.
Is that comforting to people? Or is that like, oh, a bit too much? Quick, get out a lavender spray.
But then you run the risk of having the Glen 20 lavender spray smell. So I think I'd prefer the, oh, this smells like a hospital, clean, bleachy.
Yeah.
Comfortable with that.
See, I've learned a lot of people have bad memories associated. When they smell Glen 20, they have bad memories.
Really?
Flood back. Like for me,
yes.
There was in radio stations, people like to spray the microphone. This is before COVID. Spray the microphone, Glen 20.
Okay.
Freshen it up because we're all using the same mic.
Yeah.
The problem was I worked in a radio station where there were some people that were smoking, not in the studio, but they would smoke, come back in, talk into the microphone. So the microphone smelled like smoke.
Delicious.
Right? But they, you know, you spray Glen 20 on it and then it smelled like Glen 20 and smoke.
So like the can of Glen 20 has gone out and had a ciggy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. So now whenever I smell Glen 20, I think, what is this covering up? Because that's what it used to cover up. Like Glen 20 used to be for covering up things. Now it's to kill germs.
Yeah.
So we're actually using it for its intended purposes. But, somebody else I was speaking to said, I have bought the lavender Glen 20 because I have bad memories of the normal Glen 20.
Interesting.
There's always someone in an office place
who overuses the Glen 20.
Probably in the toilet as well, probably. You know. The lemon one's not that bad.
Look, I didn't mind the lavender because it was refreshingly different to the original. Which, what flavour is the original?
I don't know. Pine? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm sorry if you're not from Australia and you have no idea what we're talking about. It's a disinfectant spray.
Yeah.
To cover up odours and
other things around the world that have
germs. I know, I've heard of Americans use the word Lysol a lot. Maybe if there's a Lysol spray, that's the equivalent.
Yeah.
I know they've got Lysol wipes, so maybe it's
the same.
Maybe similar. We were talking about Mariah Carey.
How did we get on to Glen 20? Ooh, tangent.
I've got a different tangent to go on now.
Okay.
Julianne Moore.
Yes.
Do you want to know what she's up to next?
I'd love to know.
All right. She's going to be in a movie adaptation of the Broadway musical Dear Evan Hansen.
Nice.
With Ben Platt, who sings songs.
Yes.
If you have a quick Google now, Ben Platt, you'll see him and you go, oh, yeah, him.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll know him.
That'd be interesting. When I was in New York last before COVID, Dear Evan Hansen was all over Broadway.
Really?
And it was one of the shows you couldn't get tickets to. And
it was the Hamilton of its time.
Yeah. I mean, Hamilton was there as well, so they were the two you really couldn't get tickets to, so I didn't get to see it.
Mm.
And I remember I was flying out of New York and standing behind people in the airport in the queue, and they were talking about how good Dear Evan Hansen was. And
really? I was like, oh, didn't get to go, and I still can't, especially now.
So now I'll wait for the movie.
You'll have to wait for the movie. It's also got Amy Adams and Amanda Steinberg in it. So
nice.
Like, you're like, okay, I'm getting an idea of where this is going.
Yep.
Like, they've picked people who are big stars in movies who can sing and do that sort
Fabulous.
Of performance thing. So it's going to be good. I don't know if I've seen Julianne Moore singing before.
No, I don't think so.
Not in a musical. Like, obviously Amanda was in Mamma Mia's. Amy Adams was that one that she was filming in Central Park that
Tangled.
We walked past years ago. Yeah.
Tangled.
Yeah. I just remember us.
Yeah.
When I see that movie, I remember us on holidays in New York together.
Watching this movie being filmed that we were like, what?
Who?
Is
what's
going
Amy
on?
Adams? That's right.
There's like a parade, there's some brides and grooms. Mm. Like, that's interesting.
Anyway, pretzel. So if you don't know what Evan Hansen is about, so it's about Evan Hansen, a high school student with social anxiety. He unintentionally gets caught up in a lie after his family, after the family of a classmate who died by suicide mistakes one of Hansen's letters for the son's suicide note. It sounds confusing, but I'm sure it will make sense. Julianne Moore is the mum.
Yeah, I could imagine that.
Interesting. Nice. I think it'll be a hit.
Yeah,
I really
I'm looking forward to that.
If the musical, like the Broadway musical, was such high demand, this is going to be
just as much.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, we really quacked at the principal. Are we ducks or what? You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Adam Driver.
Yes.
We discovered him years ago when we started watching Girls.
Yep.
That was another holiday we were on. Do you remember we were watching Girls across
Greece and Turkey?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. We were in this amazing little hotel that we found in Istanbul.
Yes.
In the tiniest room they had. And then they were like, oh, do you want a bigger room? The next day we were like, yes, please.
This room was a triangle.
It was a triangle.
And one side was long enough for a bed and the other two weren't. And there were two beds in there.
That's right.
And the beds were raised.
That's right.
So we could put our suitcase half under the bed. Remember?
Yeah, there was no room for suitcases.
No room.
Yeah. But the hotel had a couple of cats.
It was a beautiful place.
We were, I would not remember the name of it, but I'm glad we were there. Don't bother trying to remember. It doesn't matter. No one can go there anyway right
That's
now.
True.
Unless you're in Istanbul. Adam Driver.
Yes.
So he was in Girls. We thoroughly enjoyed that. His character's name was Adam.
It was.
Hmm. He's going to star in Sony's next sci-fi movie. I don't know why I said next. It sounds like it's a fair way off.
Really?
It's called 65.
Okay.
It's by the writers of A Quiet Place.
Yes.
So Scott Beck and Brian Woods, they're going to direct as well.
Nice.
Mm. And it's kind of got, if I'm expecting A Quiet Place set in a sci-fi genre
mm-hmm.
with Adam Driver in it, I think I'm okay with that.
I'm thinking it's raised the idea of quality in my head.
Definitely.
Like at first, I am one of those people that I hear sci-fi and I go,
yeah, you own Star Wars is as sci-fi as you go.
That's my
usually.
Which Adam Driver is in. Yeah,
that's true.
So,
that's
you
true.
Know, he's made the link that
he has.
I might.
You're now
see this
you're
one.
Now interested. Yeah. Well, I have no idea what the plot is because it's super early days.
So
they
I love
haven't started
that.
Production.
They've got writers, directors, a cast, and a title.
But they haven't told anybody what
but
it's
they haven't
about.
Got a plot.
That's right. They've lost the plot.
Lost the plot.
They can't find
they
it.
They lost that. 2020 took it again. God, 2020.
Jamie Foxx.
Yes.
He is going to star in and actually executive produce a sitcom for Netflix called Dad, Stop Embarrassing Me.
Oh.
So the show's inspired by his relationship with his daughter, which I love. I really love it. I've called it a sitcom.
Yes.
But they've called it a multicam comedy. It's the same thing, right?
Surely.
I had a bit of a Google. And
why would they bother changing the name?
The thing I think it might be is that a multicam comedy is a bit like your, not like your, sort of like your Kath and Kim. It's like your Modern Family where there's, I think it means there's no audience standing there
yeah.
or sitting there, I should say.
A little bit more like the audience is actually a participant in the room.
Yeah.
You know, it's like so it's, the camera moves.
It's us.
Yeah. Whereas Friends, it's very much I'm sitting back and watching yes. through the fourth wall.
Yeah. So I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Interesting. Once again, I'm hoping it will come out soon because
yeah.
I think that would be quite funny.
Bit of lighthearted humour that everyone needs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kind of like there was a sitcom, oh, it had Dennis Quaid in it last Christmas on Netflix and it was such a
oh, that's
such
right.
a sitcom. It was not great, but because it had the festive Christmas vibes,
yes.
you sat there and watched it. You're
yeah.
like, yeah, just give me the feel-good feels.
Now, I didn't go past more than a couple of episodes, but
yeah.
did it continue past the Christmas holiday time?
Because I can't remember.
Wasn't
no,
it even named?
I don't think so.
It had a Christmas name to it, didn't it?
Yeah, so maybe we'll get, or
oh,
maybe we were supposed to get more of it this year. I don't know. I
yeah.
haven't heard anything about it, but yeah. Ah, this is a good one. So Radio Times over in the UK, it's a magazine and website kind
yep.
of thing. They have announced to the world that Sherlock Holmes is Britain's favourite television detective.
Really?
Yeah. They did a poll online. Thousands of people voted and the results are official and can never be changed. Well, maybe not. Do you want me to go from 10 to 1? Well, you already know what 1 is.
Yeah, go
Sherlock
10 to 1.
Okay.
Do it.
10 is Marcella.
Okay.
Yep. See, I know who she is.
Yeah, I know who she is. She's a good one, but at the same time, she is a bit hard to like because you're not quite sure. You're not quite sure of her mental state.
She's an unpredictable main character.
Yep.
Yeah. Olivia Benson from Law & Order SVU.
What? No. Oh, look, she's got credit. She's been around forever.
Maybe that's why.
But when you're talking about like a well-rounded, cleverly written character,
mm-hmm.
surely Marcella tops the spot.
Mm. Over
Olivia Benson.
Yeah. I get you. What about Ellie Miller from Broadchurch? She's at number 8.
She's awesome. Why are the girls 10, 9 and 8? Are the rest all men? They are, aren't they?
Not all of them, but
okay.
they men do feature heavily as we get closer to one, of course.
Oh, see, I would have bumped her. I really would have bumped her higher.
Higher.
Mm.
7,
okay.
You're going to like this one,
yeah.
Luther.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's
nuts, but he's great.
He's kind of like Marcella in that he's quite unpredictable.
Yeah.
And does things that you're like, oh.
Not exactly following policy.
Yeah. But he is really good. 6, an absolute classic, Miss Marple.
Great.
That makes sense that she would
Does
be there.
Does make sense.
That's, I think, when we start to say goodbye to
the females.
Number 5 is Columbo. Once again, it makes sense. That show felt like it was around for 55 years.
Yeah. And look, if the Radio Times has an older demographic who are voting in this, aren't they going to choose the ones that they've been watching for years and years?
That's a good point. 4, DCI, Tom Barnaby from Midsummer Murders.
Okay. I probably wouldn't put him that high.
I haven't seen many of them, so I can't even really picture him. The lines... Line from Duty's AC. I'm not sure what that is. Oh, sorry.
Line of duty.
Line of Duty's AC12. I don't know what that is.
Line of Duty is on, you can see it on Netflix, I'm sure of it.
AC12 is a person?
I don't know.
It's like a robot.
I'm pretty sure there's not a robot in it, but.
Okay. Shame.
Yeah.
Perot.
Oh.
Is it number 3? That makes sense.
Another Agatha Christie.
Sorry, that's number 2. I apologize. Number 2. And of course, we've got Sherlock Holmes as number 1. I think Sherlock Holmes is in the right spot.
Yes.
When you think about classic detective characters,
classic has lasted the times. Mm. Is always entertaining.
And has had so many people portraying him as well. I didn't mind the Sherlock Holmes movie with well, there were 2 of them with Robert Downey Jr. and Sherlock Holmes. They were fun. Jude Law as well. Yeah. They were really good. Fun. Really good fun. And thus concludes all of the news. That was quite a lot, wasn't it?
That was a lot.
It was a lot of news. So let's get into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
If you've got a watching suggestion, do what the bloke said to do. Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. I think we should first talk about our continuation of playing Fall Guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we play maybe once a week for a couple of hours.
I think a couple of hours is a bit generous.
1 hour?
Maybe 1 hour. Yeah.
It's kind of hard to figure out the time there because you end up playing a whole heap of games. It feels like you've played a lot, but it probably lasted 2 minutes.
And because we're not very good.
Not good.
We end up playing the same level ones over and over again. So it feels like we're playing for a very long time because we have no variety.
No variety playing the exact same one.
We don't get any better either.
There was one where the slime slowly rises and you have to go up this obstacle course that's kind of sloped.
Bit zigzaggy.
Yeah, zigzaggy. That was really difficult because we'd never done it before.
Yeah.
We didn't know what to do afterwards. And then suddenly we were eliminated. Like, how? And I think the slime got us.
It did. I did have a PB, though, where I got through 3 levels. Very unusual for me.
That was good.
But the last level that I was on, you had to kind of find this pathway along sort of bricks, pavers that disappeared and fell.
And you didn't know until you trod on it.
Yeah, and then you were flipped back to the beginning. Now, I'm not very good at directional things.
So remembering where those
I remembered where they were.
Right.
I just couldn't get myself onto them because I'm not very good
at the controllers.
I'm very good at going straight and jumping.
That's okay though. That's 2 buttons.
That's 2 buttons.
Well, it's an impressive amount of buttons. Still a very fun game, right?
It's really fun.
Really, really fun.
It is really fun. And it's really fun to watch. So if you're not the actual player, I think you called it last week couch co-op or something like that.
Yeah, because that's what we were doing. Yeah. We were taking it in turns.
You find it more amusing watching because you can
actually see stuff.
Yeah, you see it all happen and it's nuts.
Speaking of enjoying watching, I was watching a Twitch. I was going to call her a Twitch streamer. She's an actress.
Yes.
Felicia Day.
Okay.
She's been in stuff. She's very funny. She has her own Twitch channel and she was playing Fall Guys. I've seen her play with other people and I've seen her play by herself. And she's hilarious because she promises not to swear in case there are kids watching.
But?
Yeah. But the words that were coming out of her mouth, and then she was like, oh, sorry. And then somebody in the chat called her Boomer.
Yeah.
She lost it. And then was apologizing for the next 10 minutes.
About swearing.
Yes. But she managed to actually get up that slime zigzag one.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't believe I'll go. I don't know where I'm going. And she got through.
Did she?
Yeah, she got through. It was really cool. If you get a moment, so she's in the US, so I have watched her at lunchtime.
Okay.
So she's very, very funny and she plays Fall Guys and she plays other games, but very entertained. Like I sit here by myself laughing.
Yeah.
Out loud. And that's when you know something's funny.
Because it's just her reaction.
It's just her reaction. She's so funny.
That is hilarious.
So funny. So yeah, Fall Guys. She has encountered some horses and she said that they're the worst players. You know how the wolves were?
What?
There's new costumes and they're horses.
Oh, I was like, there are horses there are in Fall Guys? What are you talking about?
There are horses in Fall Guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I've noticed now in the last weekend when I played Fall Guys, there are people who play to purposely
stop grieving you.
Yeah.
They're causing grief.
They're causing grief. They grab you and they're holding you back so you can't get it. I want to be able to, but I don't know how to because all I know is how to go forward and jump.
You can press R2.
Well, I will try that one because I just want to
You've accidentally done it to someone.
I just want to push them to the side, knock that little jelly bean over.
Yeah, they stand at the what do you call it? The end line. What's it called?
The finish line.
And they hold people back.
How is that fun?
It's not fun.
Because you'll get eliminated. Every round you'll get eliminated because you're not finishing.
I don't get why they do it.
Oh, I hate people like that.
Yeah, I know.
They're on my list.
Oh, on the list. So Fall Guys. Oh, just really quickly, we don't need to go into it in detail, but I finished watching season one of Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I said that last week, so I'm saying it now.
I think you did.
And, oh.
Good.
Yeah.
Really
you know
good.
How you were talking about Marcella?
Yes.
And Luther and how then – not necessarily likable characters.
Yes.
Now, they've got more problems than Jennifer Connelly in Snowpiercer. But it's such an interesting character because you dislike the things that she does. You dislike some choices she makes. But you can see her reasoning for it.
Yes.
She's just trying to keep the train going.
Yeah.
'Cause if the train stops, humanity is gone.
It's so interesting, those unlikable main characters. I remember the girl on the train and even reading the book before the movie and thinking, I'm reading this book and I'm enjoying it, but I don't.
You hate her.
Yeah. And it's not that I hate her, but there's not a lot to like about her. But you usually are so empathetic towards, you're immediately on, excuse the pun, the train of the main character. You know, you're on their claws. But when you don't agree with them, it's hard. Like, it's unsettling, but it's intriguing. It's clever writing.
Yeah,
I think.
Definitely. So I'm really excited to see how next season goes. Mm. Apparently, they'd almost finished filming before lockdown. I think I skim read, and they said that they do it in chunks.
Okay.
So two episodes.
At a time.
And I think they only had 9 and 10 to go.
Ooh.
So
I wonder if they just halted everything or if they really took the time we were allowed in lockdown to work more on the editing side of it and doing perhaps the better job that you would like to do without the time constraints.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. They've got time because it's not supposed to come out till next May or something.
So they've got plenty of time.
Plenty of time. But
they've got to film those two episodes.
Yeah, and I've got to try and remember. Never skip those recaps, people.
Don't skip them.
Otherwise you have no idea what happened or what's going to happen. What have you been watching? What's that for?
Well, I'm a little disappointed in myself.
Why?
So a little while ago I was watching some really good quality shows. You know, I was enjoying The Crown and Luther and White Lines and all of that. And now I've been catapulted into the world of television for a one-year-old. And I can't say it's interesting.
It's repetitive.
It's repetitive. And you know everything off by heart. And it's very colourful. So you end up staring at it and watching it. And then you think, I'm an adult and I just...
I've watched half an hour of this.
Yeah, watched the whole episode of Play School.
So Emma Wiggle's a very popular...
Emma Wiggle, she is a god. Like, you might not know this, But everyone who's under a metre high worships this woman. And if Emma speaks, actually, if Emma just appears, they stop.
If you say the name Emma?
Yeah, reactions. Big smiles. If you start singing one of the songs,
oh yeah,
you can get them to do whatever you want. You can stop any tantrum.
Wow,
with an Emma song.
That's
This
is why she's the god.
She is a god.
She's a native Sydney sider.
Yes, she is. She
Emma.
Yeah, went to a performing arts high school as a trained ballet dancer. The woman's clever. Like she's not just being hired. She's very clever.
What I think is, I don't know whether it's, maybe it's a collection of being clever and also a bit of luck, but how they managed to change the Wiggles.
Yes.
Apart from one. And for the show to still continue being huge.
Really good. Like it's essentially following the same format, but they have changed so much of it. And really, you think their demographic's going to continually grow up, move on.
Yep.
They're not going to stick with the Wiggles for 10 years and watch every season.
Yeah, yeah.
They will move on. So they could essentially repeat everything
every
3 years. And they do every episode. But how clever that they can change something so dramatically and be even more popular than they were.
Because when you think about around the time when the Wiggles started, you had, were they called High Five?
Yes.
And they were Australian as well. It was a group of young performers. And then they kind of just went to the wayside. But I wonder if it's because they were more – the Wiggles were created by the Wiggles.
Yes.
Maybe that's where the difference
and
longevity
look,
lies.
Look, I could be wrong, but I think with High Five, didn't some of them want to leave and they tried to replace them and it just wasn't
– yeah.
It didn't work. It wasn't successful.
Which is – why it's amazing that the Wiggles has done that.
Yeah.
And it.
So, you know, if you'd want me to sing you a song from the Wiggles.
E-M-M-A.
Yeah.
Emma.
I wake up with a Wiggles song in my head every day.
Is it a different one or the same one?
Okay. No. It's a different one. And it might be one that I haven't heard in a while. And I wake up and I think, where'd that one come from?
Dreaming about it. I'm sad you didn't wear your yellow bow in your hair today.
I know. Mm. But see, you just saying bow, the song's in your head now. Bow.
I apologise for that.
So in that respect, I'm not watching a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But it is fun going back and reminiscing, like Play School. Like you grew up watching Play School. Loved it. That would have been my favourite show as a little kid. And it's fun watching it and it's got the same feel about it. It's so.
It may not have Benita or Noni on there, but
But the toys are still there. Little Ted's still there. Humpty's still there.
The arch window.
It's probably
a different arch window, but.
But it's still arch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and still it comes up and it goes, which window? And in my head, I guess it's exactly what I did when I was a kid.
What about when the rocket clock comes around?
Rocket clock. It's not the same.
No, it's not the same.
It's nice though. I like the look of the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It better? An improvement?
Well, it does show the digital time as well. Which is...
makes sense, right, for a rocket clock to do that. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Sesame Street, do you watch any of that or not too much?
I've watched a little bit. Mm. It's really progressed. It's very, I don't want to say PC.
But it always was. It was always inclusive.
It's even more inclusive now. So now there's, you know, they talk about certain Muppets with, you know, anxiety or there's one who's on the spectrum.
Wow,
and you just
that's
cool. How good's that? As a little kid, you could relate to – I mean, you could never relate to what they look like.
Mm.
But, you know, there's far more of that where you could go, hey, I think like that.
Yeah.
I act like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really good. Do they still count to 12, 1, 2, 3, 4? Because that was my favourite thing. That's really good.
Yeah.
Hope it's the original too.
That, I don't know.
Speaking about repetitive – there was a fair bit of that going on in Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of counting to 10.
A lot of counting to 10. Now, the final thing we're going to talk about that we have watched before we get into the quiz is a movie that you and I watched. I think you watched more than I did back in the day. But we watched it and we taped it off a tape.
This is back in the day.
Back in the day, Back in the day, we taped it off a tape. And so it was all that grainy thing.
The quality was atrocious.
Yeah. I was so proud of myself, though, for figuring out how to do it.
I was so proud of you, too. And that you didn't do it to the movie that you wanted, but you did it for the movie
You must have been really, really insistent. Camp Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
We watched it a couple of weeks ago for the first time since, what, 1996 or something?
Yeah, a very, very long time. It was a cult classic back then.
Mm.
Cult classic.
Yeah, and it was funny to see people that you hadn't thought about for years.
Yes. Who was in the background of it? She wasn't even, didn't even say anything. Jessica Alba.
She's like an extra.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in it looking very, well, they're all young. So basically the premise is these kids at a school, it's the end of school for the year, and they all are getting roped in by their parents to go to camps that they don't want to go to.
Like military camp, theatre camp, fat camp, and
computer camp. They're the only camps in all of America. So they decide that they're going to create their own camp, but tell their parents that they are going to the proper camp. So they're basically in this rundown, abandoned ghost town camp, right? Yeah. That no one's there.
But even better than that, they rope in this old man who works at a cheese shop and was once a drama teacher to then be the teacher of all the camps, and he goes to the parents and pretends to be the camp directors of all these various camps.
Mm.
And the parents give them the money and their child.
Here's the money. Here's our kid. see you at the end of six weeks. So weird. It's such a premise that wouldn't exist anymore.
It wouldn't exist.
I love the fact that once the kids all got their individual amount of money, they all somehow bought stuff online.
Yeah.
Because then all the toys came in a big truck.
They were all shipped to them.
That's right.
They didn't go to the shops. It must have been those kids at computer camp.
Mm, so they that was it.
Coded.
They coded.
They coded online shopping back then. Yeah. Gave Walmart a website.
So they did learn something.
Yeah.
That's really impressive. Andrew Keegan's in it. Christopher Floyd. And that the young nun from
Sister Act,
I can't remember her name, but she plays a doctor who really should have been concerned about a lot of things.
A lot of things, but she wasn't. She really wasn't.
And Nathan Cavalieri's in it.
Yeah.
Who I forgot existed.
I completely forgot he existed.
He stands on things a lot and plays his guitar.
He basically stands on the top of roofs and plays his guitar
Hallway through the movie.
That's all he does.
Hallway through the movie. I must say, I enjoyed watching it again.
I really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed watching it in an adult's eyes, just being like, that'd never happen. That would never happen either.
And they were so bored.
Yeah, so bored because they spent all their money on super soakers.
So funny. Are you ready to get into the quiz?
I am so ready.
All right, this quiz.
Yes.
I've named it, as I name all of them.
Yeah.
I've named it its own name, comma, as I do to all of them.
Go for it.
So I haven't named it the same name that I call all the other quizzes.
Right. Okay.
Which Real Housewife goes where? So I'm going to give you the name of a Real Housewife from over the years and over the series, and you have to tell me which city they're from.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm so excited because I really feel I do listen to this podcast every single week, and I feel like I am your representation for a very specific part of reality television.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because I don't feel like many of your guests, A, watch reality television, or B, appreciate it like
That's
I
right.
do. But I draw the line. I am not a Love Island bachelor in paradise.
No, you don't watch those.
I don't do that.
There's even a Real Housewives series that you refuse to watch as well.
I have refused some Real Housewives, which is hard.
But there's so many, you can pick and choose.
And you got to choose the good ones.
Mm.
You know, you really do. And then you're happy to watch the reruns of the good ones, even though you know what happens and it's rubbish anyway.
And you're like, that face is different to the one she has 5 years later.
Oh, my gosh,
there's a lot of that, right?
You hate that.
A lot of that. All right, let's go. There are six of them. Teddy, Joe, Mellencamp.
Beverly Hills.
Correct. She, of course, is the daughter of...
John Mellencamp.
Mm-hmm. She's like a... I wouldn't say personal trainer, but she's like a life coach.
Okay. Basically, she coaches overweight people into exercising and feeling better about themselves.
Okay. All right. This is the difficult one. I told you there was one difficult one. Tammy Knickerbocker.
Orange County.
Oh, no way. Oh, that's amazing. She was only in like one. And it was towards the beginning. It wasn't the first one. I think it was season two.
But here's a little background.
Ooh.
The opening sequence for Orange County, at the very end of the opening sequence.
The montage.
There is a beautiful big house and the gates in front of it closed because the whole idea was the Orange County was the gated community. Mm-hmm.
That was the first one,
right? It was the first one. Yep. That is Tammy Knickerbocker's house. Before she got divorced and lost all her money in the divorce.
Wow.
And then a few years later she came back as a housewife. But she didn't have the money or the wealth that she used to have. And she was like, that's my house in the beginning. Crazy, huh?
Do you know why I chose her for this?
Her surname's Knickerbocker?
Yeah. That's the only reason.
Yeah, I would have done.
Oh, wow. I'm so impressed.
You won't try to get all the easy ones incorrect.
These are all going to be right now. I already know. Candy Burris. Candy Burris.
Atlanta.
She co-wrote Ed Sheeran's Piece of You and TLC's
Waterfall.
No Scrubs.
No Scrubs.
Oh, maybe Waterfall as well. I don't know, but definitely No Scrubs. Yeah. So when they're describing what kind of guy a No Scrubs is, that's Candy telling you.
Yeah. Yeah. Very clever woman.
Yeah.
Probably one of the most independently successful housewives, especially in the Atlanta group.
Yeah, right. What are we up to? Wow, we're already up to – we've only got three left. Gina Liano.
She is now Orange County. No.
Oh,
my gosh. She's Melbourne.
Yes.
She's Melbourne.
You nearly got the wrong Gina.
I was going to say that it's the housewife – who is from New Jersey but moved to Orange County. But that's wrong, so
that's
ignore
wrong.
That one.
That's wrong.
It's Melbourne.
I chose that. I chose Gina.
Yes.
Because I remember what she looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And also I didn't realise her last name has my name in it. Liano. I love it. She's also a barrister, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there. There's a lot to unpack.
Look, if you saw her choice of makeup, hair and clothes, I personally would probably be a bit hesitant to hire her as a barrister, but maybe she's good at what she does.
I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
And maybe she would be a good choice because
she would put people offside. They would know what to expect.
I don't know how to let's settle out of court.
Yeah.
Carol Radziwill.
She's New York.
Do you know why I chose her?
She's a princess.
Oh, I chose it because her last name's interesting. Okay. I mean, I know who she is, but I didn't know she was a princess.
Yes. So
really?
Her late husband has royal ties. I can't remember where. And was also related to the Kennedys.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The Countess Luanne.
De Lesseps.
Must have hated
that. Oh, she hated it so much. It was fabulous.
Oh, okay. Last one. Melissa Kautz.
Oh, Sydney.
Read my lips.
They only got
one season, didn't it?
They did. And here's the funny thing. She clearly lived on the Central Coast. They didn't quite mention it, but she clearly lived on the Central Coast. And that's not Sydney.
But she was the person that people knew.
She was the name.
Like she was E Street, she was Read My Lips.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whereas the others in Sydney were like a jeweler and
the wife of someone who was controversial.
Yeah, Pauline Hanson's sidekick.
Okay, so congratulations.
Thank you.
You got all of them right. My question now is, and it's going to be difficult for you, I think.
Yes.
But I need you to tell me which is your favourite. Not person. City. Series.
That is really hard.
How many do you need? Like, do you need a top two? Do you need a top three? You need a top two.
I'll do 2.5.
Okay.
New York.
Yes.
However, some of the good ones have recently left. Like Bethany Frankel isn't in the latest season.
Yeah, right. But she's left before, right?
She has left before, but she has kind of said goodbye to it.
Mm.
And I feel her. There's a Bethany shaped hole in that show, and the new ones who have come in not quite filling it, and that season's wrapped, and another one has said goodbye to it, and I think I will fill that hole as well.
Who?
I don't think you'll know her.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so I do really, really like that one, but I'm feeling the difference.
Yep.
Beverly Hills. It's good.
Got your Lisa Rinna's.
Was good from the beginning, and it just keeps getting better.
What's her name?
Lisa Charlie Vanderpump Sheen. Has moved out of it. There's Denise Richards.
Denise Richards.
Kyle Richards, not related.
No, but she's related to Paris Hilton, right?
She is. Mm. She's Paris Hilton's auntie.
Mm.
Yeah. So Beverly Hills is really good. And then Orange County.
Okay.
They're good. They're train wrecks, Orange County, but they're good.
They're really good. That was good. I feel refreshed, and I don't know. I need to just tell you right now that I'm kind of feeling like I need to watch some Housewives, but only probably New York, and only when they are drunk.
Oh yeah,
on holidays.
Yeah,
because they're really, really funny.
Oh, they're nuts.
Like they literally fall into bushes and fight over who gets what room, right?
Yeah. They go on holidays and then just scream at each other over a bed. It's fabulous. It's fabulous.
Oh, gosh. And it was fabulous talking for the whole time that we talked about this and the time before and the time when I pressed stop.
Can I just say I really enjoyed talking about Housewives.
You're so welcome.
Like,
you didn't say thank you, but you're welcome.
Thank you.
I already said you're welcome. On that note, Stephanie/Tidy, thank you.
You're welcome.